Hi, welcome back to Books and Broomsticks. I'm Chaotic Witch Aunt.
And I'm Matt Hatter Plays.
And today we are talking about incense crafting and Incense 101.
Hooray!
Huzzah!
I think incense is definitely overlooked. It's something that like you have next to your altar or you have during your ceremony, and I don't think a lot of people actually pay attention to its importance. They're just like, yay, this smells nice.
We were even talking about how there are specific formulas that are like really sacred, and specific items that are used and have been used, historically by prophets, in divinatory spaces, in temples, etc.
Yeah. A quote from somebody who's been on this podcast a few times, being about Hoodoo Moses, he is quoted saying that incense is part of our olfactory senses, and if it matches up with what you were trying to do, you are more likely to bring forward the energy, entity, or whatever that you are trying to call out to. So if you find a smell or an incense that matches up with, say, a deity, or say a smell that matches up with your intention, then that is going to align you more towards what you are trying to bring forward and manifest. Ugh.
Fucking love incense.
Can I say I hate the word manifest now?
Why?
It's like, okay, like when we talk about the craft, it's empowering, it's incredible. But the second I say manifest, I feel like I'm using a love and light word, and I'm like, it's been so overused that I'm like, it's the right word.
You're valid. I know someone who hates the word liminal.
Liminal is a trash word.
I think it's you, actually. Are you the one who hates the word liminal?
I mean, I also hate liminal, but I don't think I was the one that said that I... And again, it comes from the fact that I'm a folklorist and I do a lot of monster content. So every fucking person ever talks about liminal spaces, and it makes me want to just... yeet my entire insides outside.
Well, okay. What are some purposes of incense? I know we kind of touched on that with that like olfactory sense and bringing forward purpose and entities in spell work, but what else?
Well, you're also doing the ultimate version of releasing spirit, right? You're doing the ultimate version of releasing energy. You're burning it. You're putting it out into the world. I burn mint, and the entire vibe of that mint is, you know, bring me money and bring me abundance. You are putting that out into the universe. You have officially...
One of my teachers, the fantastic Austin Tony of Cat and Cauldron, once said that making incense is like a sacrifice, an offering of plants. You're like, it's like killing, it's like murdering... It's plant sacrifice. That is in part why it's so amazing.
I think that's an incredibly valid way for a Italian practitioner to look at it.
Plant sacrifice!
Because when I look at an indigenous way of looking at it, I think of it complete opposite. I think of it as the act of reciprocity. Mm. I think of it as the... because you have to remember the gathering of those herbs, the gathering of all of that is very, very sacred at that time. It's a very, you know, taking your time, giving back, singing prayers, singing songs to your gathered materia. And then the burning actually does generate something in the air, whether it's antibacterial, whether it's, heat that actually does help in California for other plants to start growing. The act of making incense or things that burn is much more reciprocal in that situation.
That's so wonderful. I just think it's plant sacrifice.
That's great. Thank God we have two different mindsets here, because if we agreed on everything, fuck, man. We
this
might
be a
as
very
well.
Boring podcast.
On top of that, we would just be two men with microphones.
Anyways, yeah, I mean, purposes of incense. I use incense to smoke cleanse spaces. I make my own blend of like herbs with associations from Italian folk magic, and I'll cleanse the house and say a particular prayer. Certain malocchio diagnoses are done with like a roof tile or a ceramic roof tile and burning things on charcoal, or taking like an iron thing and embers, coals from the stove, etc. And all these like incense blends have particular usage. In Italian folk magic, like there are some to lift depression, to help postpartum, to cleanse and protect from the evil eye. And it's one of those things that I haven't experimented with as much as I have experimented with like oils and waters and those kinds of things. But I would love to start. Maybe this episode will get me into incense crafting.
Do it. Why not?
What are the ways, or how many ways is incense made? What are the ways in which we can create incense?
So obviously, stick, cone, loose. That's your major three. That's the three everybody's well-versed and most familiar with. The most traditional method is loose incense. It's gathering materia, throwing it on something hot, letting it burn. That is the type that we see a lot in saining rituals, smudging rituals, which I'm always a little... depends on who you ask when you're talking about smudging rituals, because there's either a very, very definitive description of what that means, or if you're talking to other natives, they're just like anything that's burned. Whatever. We'll get into that later. So saining, smudging, smoke cleansing, bathing oneself in smoke as a perfume, things to burn to put into your water. I mean, you name it, there's a method to it. As far, especially when it comes to loose. Cone is adding something that's a little bit more sticky, and then making sure that it's all
ground. You could do something like wine or alcohol to give it a richer, muskier smell. You could do something like resin if you want a specific like tree spirit in there. If you wanted to do, I think you could also just like make the plants wet with water and form them.
Exactly. So like the methods of actually creating it are plentiful. But yeah, your major three that most people are going to know the best are going to be cone, stick, and loose. And I am personally a huge fan of loose incense.
Because I'm a fucking slut for loose incense.
Same, because either A, you're using it properly as an incense. B, you're throwing it in your water, making it a wash. C, you're throwing it into your laundry and throwing it into the laundry room. Like, loose incense is basically like the purest form of take plant, dry plant, throw plant into something.
I love it. You can also add resins to loose incense, which I really enjoy. I've made quite a few at work with like a bunch. I work in a metaphysical store with a bunch of tools available to me. I will experiment with like, what does the vibe need? What are these plants? And then I'll like add some resin in. The resin is typically the smelliest part. So if you want something that's not just smelling like frankincense, you can add a little frankincense and like dragon's blood. You can add a little frankincense and myrrh. But then you can add in some herbs that may not have as strong of a scent. So you get this like very nice frankincense with a little bit of burned yarrow. Yeah. Fucking delicious.
And it doesn't even have to be plant. A lot of, and apparently this is a... like a whole situation. I don't bring TikTok here. I just know that it's a TikTok situation. Things like bugs have been well known to be put into incenses. So if you're not a big fan of like animal sacrifice or whatever, first off, it's bugs. Calm down. Chill. So sorry to tell you, I do not give a fuck about putting some bugs in my incense. Sorry, you guys. There's just certain of them that are great for whatever you're trying to do.
There's like some dead wasps in my shed and wasp nest. Like, I put wasp nest in snake skin. Like,
yeah.
Yes, they're ethically sourced, but also, like, historically speaking, you use what you have.
So there's plenty of animal materia. I mean, there's been a couple of practitioners that I know who have been known to put, like scorpion in there, like full on, like get on it. Obviously make sure that anything that you're about to burn and that is going to be near your face, mm-hmm. please make sure you're aware of what that's going to do to you if you breathe that in or if you have it near your face.
Yeah.
There's a very old brothel recipe. That's right, bitches, we're talking about brothel recipes for a second. Involves sulfur. But one of the very first things that's on the recipe is burn it and leave. Do not be in the room when it goes off.
Yeah.
Let that do its own thing. Sulfur is an incredibly powerful cleanser, but it's also real bad for you to breathe in. So.
Also, like, I'm thinking off the top of my head, you scent-wise, you wouldn't want to breathe in asafoetida.
No.
Nor would you really... I you can put some salt in your incense, but it's not necessarily, like... It's not great for you to be around that.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. Like,
it's sugar.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not wise to be around those things. But yeah, it's important to know that those are potential things that you can put in there. Mm-hmm. There's old recipes towards goddess of the death that involved aconite. I would obviously never suggest that you put aconite into your incense these days here in 2023 land. But it's been well known.
Just use aconite flower essence, couple drops of it.
Yeah,
but then be mindful because that usually contains brandy, which is flammable. Like, you have to be mindful
be aware
of what's going in there. Because if you're doing it in the house, you have pets, etc. Like, I've had people that I know that are like, oh, I'm buying lavender. And I'm like, yeah, so lavender's toxic to cats and so is eucalyptus. And they're like, we'll just put the cat in the other room. I'm like, that's not how that works. You can't even, like, you don't want to burn it in the same house as that.
Cats are liquid. They can go wherever they want to.
Yeah. Anyways.
Also, consider where you're putting it, right? Consider where you're making it. Consider where you're burning it. I mean, obviously, that's exactly what we're talking about with mindfulness. But, like, to really drill it home, because I will not have anybody misquote me, go poison themselves, and then say it's my fault. Go outside if you really need to. Do your shit outside.
Yep.
If you're going to do it inside, you need to research every single ingredient, every single little bit, every single thing that's happening, making sure that you're not, you know, screwing yourself over.
Yep. What is the history of incense, or some history of incense?
Ancient. I very, very few times use the word ancient because I don't really care. It's a very nebulous word to me. But this is one of those situations where ancient... Humans are real good at throwing shit in fire. Like, we see it hot. Yeet.
Yeet. Yeet.
Yep.
Incense is literally like, this smells nice. Burn.
Yeah, it's even been suggested that it was like incidental perfume. The right kind of tree bark was on fire. Obviously, resin is on that tree bark when you're like lighting it on fire. It smelled really good. So they would have the scent all over them. And they were like, why are people into me now? Oh, it's because I smell good.
Because I smell tasty.
Yeah. And then you would start seeing it kind of everywhere. I believe myrrh was a really big one for... who is it? It's an Egyptian pharaoh. One of the women's.
Hatshepsut?
Yes, that's the one.
Hatshepsut.
I don't remember how to say her name.
Hold on, I'm going to look it up.
To be corrected. You guys can correct us.
These resins are even mentioned in the Bible. Hatshepsut.
I'm sure we will be corrected, and yes, thank you for correcting us as far as that pronunciation is concerned. But myrrh was a huge thing, and then myrrh is also a huge thing in the fucking Bible. And frankincense.
And myrrh. Ooh, murder.
Murder. Judas, no.
Oh, man.
But yes, the history is long. Long.
As long as we've been alive, we've been like, this shit smells good, set it on fire.
Exactly.
Or, this shit smells bad, set it on fire to get rid of the bad spirits.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to talk about that because so many herbs that I work with are well known to, like, literally you burn it and it gets rid of evil spirits. That's because it's strong smelling. So, like, rue fucking knocks them shits out. They're like, ugh, and they leave. Juniper, very well known and then as protection because it burns bright white. It also has associations with Mary, I believe, as like a protective herb. It's also really good for drawing in abundance.
Money.
I would use the berries if you're drawing in abundance, not necessarily the branches. Furthermore, there are herbs that I smell and I know I'm not going to get along with them. That's how insane, like, my sense of smell is stronger than most people. It's the neurodivergence, all right? It's that.
The neurospiciness.
I smell things really strongly. But I know whether or not I will like working with an herb or that herb wants to work with me right off the bat, or it'll be more of a longer term, take more time relationship based off if I like the smell. So, for example, I really love the smell of valerian root and valerian root is like very stinky. It's regarded as very stinky. It has that, like, it's one of those plants that's like so stinky it'll get rid of bad spirits, but also it's stinky and associated with some baneful things. And I smell it and I'm like, good shit. I know that valerian is a plant that, like, I will work with very easily. Versus I'm doing a fast luck spell, just researching. I'm like, I don't know, maybe I should try lucky hand root. I just do one sniff and I'm like,
that ain't yours.
Nope, that's not for me. No, I'm good. And there's a part of me just goes to work and starts sniffing things and I'm like, hello.
But that goes into, like, the humanness of it, right? That goes into exactly, like, this idea that your senses are definitively the most important part to your spirituality. In my opinion, if you cannot trust your senses first before the rest of it, you're on the wrong path, or you're on a way, way off path.
Yep.
Like, your sense of smell is so important. The olfactory is so important when it comes to anything. I guess it also comes from being clairgustin, right? If I didn't, the smell is so powerful, I taste it kind of idea. So if I didn't trust that sense of taste or smell, then I wouldn't know what was going on. And it's very much the same way. If you're smelling something that ain't working for you, and then all of a sudden you turn around and you're like, why isn't my smell working? Girl, why you think? Doesn't stink right.
The smell is just so big for me. Like, And so incense, if I like the smell of an incense, I'm burning that shit all the time. If I don't, I'm like, hey, no.
I mean, and when we had our conversations with, you know, other practitioners, right? They go on to tell you that all of the things that grow in our life, all the things we smell that we really enjoy in our life, all the things that we really like in our life usually have something to do with what we need as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's totally valid. The more and more I do it, I love the smell of lavender. And guess who's an anxious bitch? Me.
I kind of like the smell of lavender.
Yeah, but you also like the smell of valerian root. And that's like,
if someone likes the smell anxious of valerian, run.
They probably are worse than most others about their anxiety.
Smells so fucking, I drink that shit in my tea. I'm like, it's delicious in a sleepy time tea.
My ass would be unconscious for days.
I love it.
Days.
I am very high strung.
I am very high strung.
I had one tea with valerian root in it and I'm like, I slept so well. And everyone around me is like, Jesus fucking Christ. And I'm like, I'm an anxious slut. That goes into it. Exactly, I'm always thinking.
But that's exactly the point, right?
Yep.
I would almost want to do a test and, like, you know, do the scientific method of spirituality, because Matt likes to put mundane before his spirit. I want to see how many people like the smell of either mint or cinnamon or one of those really, like, money ones. I want to see how many people who are broke bitches love that smell. And then after they get money, whether or not they feel the same way about that smell. I'm just curious.
That's a good question. Moving back on, we did kind of talk a little bit about how to make incense. I want to know if there are particular recipes that we can share with our audience.
I got a fast luck incense recipe.
What? Give that shit to me. Give me that shit. Give me that shit.
So wood base of your choice. Basically, it's a wood. This is going to be based off of whoever is doing it. Then you're going to use olibanum. You're going to use sandalwood. You're going to use myrrh.
Hold on. What the fuck did you say? Albananum?
O-L-I-B-A-N-U-M.
Say it again.
O-L-I-B-A-N-U-M.
Albanum. Sandalwood.
Myrrh. Cinnamon.
Cinnamonum.
Orris root. They have a specific blend because this is from an old, really old formulary. So I'm going to skip past Bouquet X135 because that doesn't mean anything to any of us because it's a long dead company. So that's not available. Saltpeter. And then they use color theory in this, so they have the color yellow in their mix. You don't have to do that.
I'm not going to do that.
But yes, there you go. That is a fast luck incense from way back in the day.
Any other incenses?
I have all the books.
Let's do one more recipe. Maybe one for money.
And obviously, you know, go with the vibe. Vibe?
Well, and I have different, very different money drawing herbs that I associate with, like, bringing in abundance. So I'd probably change it up a little bit.
And obviously you should.
Probably put some fucking actual money in there.
I would 100%. I would say use, what's it called? The hell banknotes. Basically it's an old Chinese. I have to double check myself.
Use, mercury dimes, but you can't put that in incense, but so you can use it to charge it.
Well, you can also bless it at first and then afterwards grind it all. But there's these banknotes basically. In most Asian markets you can get them. They're like money that you burn for your ancestors. But plot twist, they can also work in a lot of other senses. And don't worry, it's very open. There have been mass interviews about whether or not people can use hell banknotes. But just be aware of what you're using when you're using it. So that would be my suggestion.
Yeah.
Because it is illegal, technically, to destroy money. Fun fact.
What?
It is technically illegal to destroy money on purpose.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Yep.
Okay. Well, what is counted as destroying money?
You have to, like, be doing it on purpose. The reason that this original... I think the reason that it was originally put into law was because, like, as an act of, like, protest, people would destroy mass amounts of money.
Yeah, I think I understand. Yeah.
And so it became... But destroying that, like, actually impacted... would it eventually impact economies if you're not careful. Because the dollar being made, created again, is kind of a problem. Anyway, let's talk about our favorite sniffs.
I feel like we already kind of touched on this a little bit, talking about herbs and stuff, but
a wee bit.
I will add, my favorite smell is rose.
Rose is a pretty good smell.
I think that the smell of rue is also good, but it's very strong when burnt. Rose is big for me. I'm a little vanilla bitch. I love vanilla.
Who doesn't love a good vanilla?
And That's, I mean, that off the top of my head, I also am a big, like, frankincense person. I fucking love the smell of frankincense.
It
And
can
I
get a
think
little
that's
overwhelming for me.
really.
Yeah, like eventually I'll be like, okay, I've had enough of this.
That's wild because frankincense is used in exorcisms,
Oh, I need to be exercised.
purification. You need the, you're the bad vibe.
I am
I know
the
vanilla is very dominating. And I am not a, I need that in my life. Same with other things that I smell. I mean, I think that the test of like seeing if a person would react to the way something smells versus later. Also the smell of rosemary, the smell of basil I'm okay with, and juniper I really, really like.
Ironically, I love the smell of rosemary because everybody knows my feelings about rosemary at this point.
Lay
But
down.
ironically, I do love the smell of rosemary. I adore the smell of rose. I mean, rose does everything, so that's why I'm like, if you don't like rose, it's interesting, and I want to know why. And tobacco, and
Makes
that's, you know,
sense.
probably an ancestral thing. But the
Yeah,
smell of
I'm a.
tobacco.
I like the smell of coffee too, but a good cup of coffee and the smell of.
Well,
What was this? Are you mocking me?
no, I mean,
Calling me an
if no,
Italian?
I mean, you are an Italian.
Anyways, I like the smell of wine sometimes. I do really like the smell of mulled wine. But yeah. Do we? We already kind of talked about incense and folklore, but if you want to talk a little bit more about specific instances of incense and folklore.
Obviously there's the Oracle of Delphi, an oracle who is well known. There's lots of people who have mimicked or thought that they had the incense of Delphi. However, it's usually just like bay leaves and some other shit because that's her most infamous scent. If we wanted to talk about like a yokai, that comes from fire, not necessarily incense, but smoke and fire. The Aninra is actually a friendly smoky guy. If you are the person who gets all of the smoke in your face during a campfire, good news, it's a friend. He wants to give you hugs. If you die, that's your problem. He's a nice dude.
Okay.
He's a good fella. He's not trying to hurt you. He's just made out of smoke.
Fucking be a menace in Colorado.
Oh, he would be. No, for sure. No, the Aninra, like, if he lives in Colorado, I need him to move immediately. We're getting into fire season. I'm not excited.
I need a new fire ward for my new place if you're down.
Sure. Gotcha.
I left the one you made at my parents' house. So they
Well, at
kept
least
it.
they're protected.
They're protected. Now I need to be protected.
Okay. I have fireman's dirt.
Any final thoughts on incense? I mean, I want to know. I'll put a little question on our Spotify because I've been doing that recently on what kind of incense would you want to make? Like, what intention, what smells, what's your favorite type of incense, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if anybody could sell an incense that isn't on the market right now, what would it be? I'm curious as to what that is.
I wonder if there are smells we haven't discovered yet.
There's got to be, because
Right?
we're not the best at sniffing. Like, there's animals that are way better at it than we are. So there's got to be smells that we have no concept of.
There has to be.
And I guess the only other final thought I have is like, bitch, use your nose, you know? Like, trust your senses. I think a lot of people are so busy up here that they
You know
forget
what
that
I want
there's.
in my life? Cathedral incense.
How is Vatican incense?
How Vatican?
Yeah, I could do Vatican.
What kind? What's in it?
It's mostly the olibanium and then like myrrh and frankincense, basically.
Okay.
But yes, I have temple, I have church, I have Vatican. God, I've got it for you.
Well, I could also order it, but they'll probably just
True.
have you make it. Cathedral brand incense. Ooh, what? Oh, it's a cathedral brand. Like, the brand is called Cathedral.
Oh, I thought, like, a cathedral made it and they were, like, for profit. I'm like, babe.
It says for church use. That's hilarious.
That's excellent. Let's become the church.
I will take it.
We're going to be our own church of fucking lunatics.
Anyways, thank you so much for listening to our episode today. Just know you should always, in times of trouble, if you need to choose to do something, choose sacrilege. Or heresy.
Or arson.
Don't do arson. It's illegal. And also don't destroy money on purpose. Also illegal.
Don't get caught with arson.
Thank you so much for listening. This has been Books and Broomsticks. I'm Chaotic Witch Aunt.
And still Mad or Place.
We'll talk to you guys next week.